For today, our discourse study focuses on the Dutiya Maranasati Sutta, Fruitful Life and Mindfulness of Death. This is from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Eight, Sutta 74, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Nadika in the brick hall. There, the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus. Venerable sir, those bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said thus, bhikkhus, mindfulness of death, when developed and cultivated, is of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless, having the deathless as its consummation. And how is this so? Here, bhikkhus, when day has receded and night has approached, a bhikkhu reflects thus, I could die on account of many causes. A snake might bite me, or a scorpion or centipede might sting me, and I might thereby die. That would be an obstacle for me. I might stumble and fall down, or my food might disagree with me, or my bowel might become agitated, or my phlegm might become agitated, or sharp winds in me might become agitated, or people may attack me, or wild spirits may attack me and I might die. That would become an obstacle for me. This bhikkhu should reflect thus. Do I have any bad, unwholesome qualities that have not been abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die tonight? If upon review, the bhikkhu knows I have had unwholesome qualities that have not been abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die tonight, then he should put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to abandon those unwholesome qualities. Just as one whose clothes or head had caught fire would put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to extinguish that fire on his clothes or head, so that bhikkhu should put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to abandon those bad unwholesome qualities. But if, upon review, the bhikkhu knows, I do not have any bad unwholesome qualities that have not been abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die tonight, then he should dwell in that same rapture and joy, training day and night in wholesome qualities. But when night has receded and day has approached, a bhikkhu reflects thus, I could die on account of many causes. A snake might bite me, or wild spirits might attack me, and I might die. That would be an obstacle for me. This bhikkhu should reflect thus, do I have any bad unwholesome qualities that have not been abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die this day? If upon review, the bhikkhu knows, I have bad unwholesome qualities that I have not yet abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die this day, then he should put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to abandon those unwholesome qualities. Just as one whose clothes or head had caught fire would put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to extinguish the fire on his clothes or head, so that bhikkhu should put forth extraordinary desire, effort, zeal, enthusiasm, indefatigability, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to abandon those bad unwholesome qualities. But if, upon review, the bhikkhu knows, I do not have bad unwholesome qualities that I have not yet abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die this day, then he should dwell in that same rapture and joy, training day and night in wholesome qualities. It is bhikkhus, when mindfulness of death is developed and cultivated in this way, that is of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless having the deathless at its consummation. This is from Anguttara Nikaya, Book of 8, Sutta 74, translated by the Bhikkhu Bodhi.
Today we are going to spend time to understand Dutiya Maranasati Sutta. This discourse centers around two important concepts, which are very, very important if we were to follow the path of the Buddha. These two concepts are spiritual urgency, Sangvega, and right effort, Samma Vayama. Entire Sutta concentrate on these two concepts. When you develop mindfulness on death within us, we arouse spiritual urgency. We make ourselves feel that we need to do something very urgently. With that, we produce a lot of energy within our mind. Then this energy is directed to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. In Noble Eightfold Path, all the eight factors are equally important. Nevertheless, without right effort, nothing can be done. Diligent practice is essential. As the Buddha himself says, Tumehi kichang atappang akkhataro tathagata. The Tathagata, the fully enlightened one, will show you the path, but you have to walk the path by yourself. So entire sutta concentrate on these two aspects: spiritual urgency and diligent practice. Throughout the life of the Buddha, in many discourses, Buddha encouraged diligent practice. Just before he passed away into final Nibbana, he also addressed his disciples and said, Vaya Dhamma Sankara Appamadena Sampadete. All the conditioned things are subject to change and disappear, impermanence. By saying that, Buddha aroused spiritual urgency in his disciples. Then he pointed out the way. Appamadena Sampadete. Work diligently to achieve enlightenment. So when we go through this discourse, this matter can be very clear. So let's go through some of the most important passages from this sutta. At the very beginning of the discourse, the Buddha says these words to the monks. Monks, mindfulness of death, when developed and cultivated, is of great fruit and benefit, culminating in the deathless, having the deathless as its consummation. So here the Buddha arouses the spiritual energy, spiritual urgency within us, and direct that energy towards the Noble Eightfold Path. And the correlation between the mindfulness on death and how it makes us work hard diligently to achieve enlightenment. So as Buddha himself says, once we develop mindfulness on death, that can end in deathlessness. So what is deathlessness here? The deathlessness is a term used here to mean perfect enlightenment. Ordinary human beings, we are undergoing repeated birth and death cycle. We are repeatedly dying. Every single moment in our body, our cells are dying and they are reborn. Our thoughts, feelings, mental formations, consciousness, they are dying every single moment, and they are also reborn. In the same manner, in the cycle of existence, when we are moving from one life to another life, we are also undergoing birth-death cycle, which is called samsara. The purpose of practicing the Noble Eightfold Path is to go beyond this repeated cycle, and those who are enlightened, they are free from repeated birth and death. So the deathlessness is a term for Nibbana. So in this paragraph at the very beginning, the Buddha says, those who practice mindfulness on death, and then they work diligently and achieve enlightenment, deathlessness. He also further says, appamado amata padang. Diligent practice is the path to go beyond repeated death and achieve enlightenment. Pamado macchuno padang. Those people who are lazy, those who do not practice, those who are indolent, in fact, they will end up repeatedly be born and repeatedly die in this cycle of existence. So in other terms, they will end up in the cycle of existence. Appamatta namiyanti, those who are diligent and they will not die. Here it means those who practice the Noble Eightfold Path diligently, they will not die spiritually. Means they will cultivate spiritual faculties, which is necessary to go beyond the cycle of birth and death. Yepamatta yatamata, those who are lazy, indolent, even though they are living, they are almost like dead. Means those who do not practice, their spiritual progress is already dead. Having said these words, the Buddha then pointed out three interrelated steps which are very important for spiritual cultivation. So here onward, the Buddha talks about these three concepts: mindfulness on death, evaluating one's spiritual progress, and taking immediate and diligent appropriate actions. So these are the three concepts that Buddha elaborate in this sutta. Now let's go through the sutta further to understand it. First of all, the Buddha encouraged developing mindfulness on death. So he says, monks, there can be many causes of the death. In the morning as well as in the evening, you should reflect these manifold causes of the death. We can die at any time. So those days, monks and nuns, who most of the time lived in the forest monasteries, has the potential to be bitten by poisonous snakes. So Buddha says, you can die at any time by being bitten by a poisonous snake. Or it is possible that you might stumble upon a rock and you might fall from a cliff and you can die. Or it is also possible the food that you take can be poisonous. Due to food poisoning, the death can occur. Or there can be internal causes like due to phlegm, wind, bile, or any other internal conditions can make you severely sick, and due to that reason, you can die. Or it is possible you can die because either a human being or non-human being were to kill you. So because of that, also you can die. So Buddha encouraged the monks to think the uncertainty of life. Anytime any one of us can die. That's the reality. Pavahatta dīpa tulyāya sāyu santatiyākhyā parūpa māya sampassaṁ bhāvaye maraṇassati. As the Buddha pointed out, our life can come to its end at any moment. Like a candle which is kept in a windy place can be blown off by the wind at any moment. Similarly, in an unexpected moment, we can die. There can be many causes of the death. So Buddha encouraged these monks to think of the impending death and its causes. Now, the Buddha gave this sermon to the monks who most of the time lived in forest monasteries. But what about the people who are living in cities like cities, in cosmopolitan cities like in Singapore? We still have the same danger. We do not know when, where, how we will die. So those who are living in the cities, we also must think about the death and be mindful about it. Someone might die at any moment due to accident. It is possible that while we are driving on the roads, we might meet with an accident and die. It is possible that we will fall from a building while we are climbing up stairs. It is possible that a terrorist might take a gun and start a shooting in a shopping mall. And because of that, we could die. But there can be many other causes. There are various kinds of diseases. Nowadays, we are also talking about this pandemic, and anytime we can die because of the diseases. So in modern societies who are living, those of us who are living in modern cities, we also need to think of the possible causes of our death. So we must be mindful on our own death. So this is the first step. Immediately after that, then the second step the Buddha encouraged is to evaluate our own spiritual progress. So he encouraged the monks to ask this question. He says, bhikkhus should reflect thus. Do I have any bad, unwholesome qualities that have not been abandoned, which might become an obstacle for me if I were to die tonight? So the monks were encouraged to think, if I were to die tonight, will I die peacefully? Will my rebirth be a fortunate one? Do I have any unwholesome, evil qualities that I have not abandoned yet? So Buddha encouraged us to evaluate our progress, spiritual progress. the Noble Eightfold Path has specifically designed to uproot certain qualities and develop some other qualities. These two aspects are known as Akusala Dhamma and Kusala Dhamma. Akusala Dhamma means unskillful qualities, unwholesome qualities. Basically, these are the various defilements which spring forth from greed, hatred, and delusion. These defilements make us suffer in this life and in many lives to come. These defilements create miseries and sufferings. Buddha categorized all these various defilements into 5 groups and labeled them as hindrances, nivarana. These are known as hindrances because they hinder our spiritual progress. These are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry, and skeptical doubt. Kamachanda, Vyapada, Dinamidda, Uddacca Kukkuccha, and Vichikicca. So these defilements, they prevent our progress. So these are basically known as Akusala Dhamma, unskillful qualities that we should uproot. The Noble Eightfold Path is specifically designed to uproot these unskillful qualities. On the other hand, Buddha also encouraged to develop Kusala Dhamma, means skillful qualities. By following the Noble Eightfold Path, we can develop these skillful, excellent qualities which are necessary for us to achieve enlightenment. These are the qualities such as development of great virtue, concentration, and wisdom. Basically, all the 8 factors of the Noble Path are skillful qualities. 7 factors of enlightenment, they are skillful qualities. And in the bigger picture, all the 37 factors which are helpful to achieve enlightenment, they all are known as skillful qualities. So those who follow the Noble Eightfold Path, in one hand, they are trying to get rid of unskillful qualities perfectly and permanently. And on the other hand, they are dedicated to develop all the skillful, wholesome qualities. So here, the monks are supposed to do spiritual evaluation. Do I have any negative, destructive, unwholesome types of unskillful qualities? Suppose when reflecting this way, and then if you were to notice, yes, you have these unskillful qualities, then the Buddha encouraged you to take the immediate actions. Now, those of you who are living in cities as lay people and have many things to do in life, how should you all practice this advice of the Buddha? We still can apply it within our boundaries and capacities. Having contemplated the possible cause of your death who are living in city, and then you also can carefully think and reflect, do I have anger issue? Do I have hatred? Do I easily get agitated? So if you think that you are easily get agitated, angry, and you are a person with a character of hostile displays, and then you should try to get rid of it. As a husband or wife, simply ask the question, if I were to die tonight, can I die peacefully? Do I have any regret? Do I treat my husband nicely and compassionately? Do I treat my wife with politeness, with kindness? Reflect carefully. And if I were to die tonight, can I die without guilt? Do I have any guilt? Do I have any grudge towards someone else? And if I were to face the death, can I die without that unwholesome thoughts? So, as Buddha encouraged the monks to think about their spiritual evaluation or progress based on their practice, specifically related to the Noble Eightfold Path, and the lay people also can practice it within their boundaries and capacities. However, suppose now when reflect in thus, we come to know that there are certain unwholesome qualities that we have not abandoned, and if we were to die with these unskillful qualities, and that might be a hindrance for our future rebirth, we might be born in a miserable state. If it is the case, then the Buddha encouraged the third step. Take immediate and diligent actions. Here, the Buddha gives us a very striking simile. He says, a man whose clothes are on fire, or his head is on fire, should try his best to put out that fire. Exactly in the same manner, when you notice that you have these unskillful qualities, unwholesome qualities, you should try your best, make effort diligently to get rid of these negative, destructive, unwholesome qualities. As the Buddha pointed out, chandang janeti vayamati chittang pagganhati padahati. You arouse the desire to get rid of these negative, destructive, unwholesome habits and qualities. Chandang janeti vayamati. You strive, work hard, make effort to get rid of these negative, unwholesome forces. Chittam pagganhati, you arouse mental energy to get rid of these negative, unwholesome forces or habits. So in this way, like a man whose clothes or head on fire would forget everything else but attend immediately to put out the fire, exactly in the same manner, and we should try our best to get rid of these unwholesome qualities. So this is the action. Well, when you reflect thus, as the Buddha says, if you were to notice, in fact, you do not have those unskillful qualities, but you have wholesome qualities. You have virtue, concentration, wisdom. You have loving kindness, compassion, goodwill, and other marvelous qualities, and you are progressing well spiritually. And then, of course, the Buddha says, then on account of that, you should be very happy and joyful. Being elated, being happy and joyful, then you must try your best. Work diligently to make these qualities develop further and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path until you achieve perfect enlightenment. So either case, whether you have negative qualities or positive qualities, we still must strive on until we attain full liberation. So Buddha encouraged the monks to practice this at night before they go to sleep, as well as in the morning before they start their day. So throughout the sutta, the morning session as well as night session were expressed with similar terms, with the same texts. So of course, we do not have to go through it again. So the sutta itself concentrate on spiritual urgency and directing these urgency to practice the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby attain enlightenment. In order to do that, Buddha recommend three steps. First of all, developing mindfulness on death. Then second step, to evaluate your spiritual progress. And the third step is to take immediate and diligent actions. Even though the sutta was specifically addressed to monks and related to the Noble Eightfold Path that leads to enlightenment, this sutta also can be applied to lay Buddhist whose immediate goal may not be the enlightenment. If you were to practice mindfulness on death and also reflect your own spiritual cultivation and then take immediate actions to adjust and adopt and progress on the path of the Buddha, you will be benefited greatly, immensely. Those of you who practice mindfulness on death will be blessed with many benefits. I would like to list out seven benefits you might enjoy here and now by practicing mindfulness on death. If you were to cultivate mindfulness on death, the first benefit will occur to you is this. By nature, you will refrain from doing evil, wicked, immoral actions. You will refrain from producing dark karmic forces. Why it is so? As the Buddha pointed out, this is not the first life or last life we are living. After the death, we will be reborn. Our rebirth will occur based on the karmic forces we produce here and now. So those people who do evil actions will be born in miserable realms, lower realms, even in the hell. As the Buddha pointed out, Ida tappati pecha tappati papakari ubayatta tappati. Those who produce dark karmic forces by doing evil actions, they grieve in this life and they will grieve in next life, and they will come to suffering in both life. Bhiyo tappati duggatingato, being born in a miserable lower realm, they will come to experience pains and suffering, which they grieve furthermore. So when you understand this, and when you think of the death and be mindful of your own death, by nature, you will refrain from doing any evil action. Number two, you will tend to do wholesome actions and do meritorious actions, and that will become part of you. Naturally, you will have tendency to do merits. The reason is, after the death, those who do merits will be born in pleasurable, favorable realm, as the Buddha pointed out. Ida modati pecha modati kata punyo ubhayatta modati. Those who do merits, they become happy and joyful in this life as well as next life. They become happy both lives. Biyo modati sugatin gato, being born in a pleasurable, favorable realm, they come to be extremely happy and joyful. So when you think of the death and after the death that you are going to be reborn, by nature, you have the tendency to do wholesome action, kusala kama. This is the second blessing. The third blessing that will happen to you is this. You will enjoy your wealth. You will enjoy your life because you know life is short. You know that anytime you can die. As the Buddha pointed out, Maha Sampatti Sampatta Yata Satta Mata Ida Tata Ahang Marissami Maranang Mamahissati. Once those who achieved great wealth, power, glory, leaving behind all these things, they are dead and gone. Similarly, one day when I die, I will leave behind my wealth, power, glory, and anything else. When you understand that these wealth, power, glory, and any other material things cannot follow you beyond the death, you are more likely to use them while you are living here and now. So you will spend your wealth for your happiness as well as happiness of the others. You will use your wealth, name, fame, glory, power, or any other material achievements for the well-being and happiness of yourself as well as for the happiness of the other human beings. You will do a lot of meritorious actions, philanthropic work, charitable actions where everyone will enjoy. So you will enjoy your wealth. This is the third blessing. The fourth blessing is you will let go the grudges. You will not keep any anger, hatred, ill will, resentment towards any other human beings. Most of the time we keep the grudges because we forget that we are going to die. Most of the time we solidify our feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness to be enduring I. Enduring with time and space. So we believe that, or we ignorantly perceive the enduring I, so that itself lead us to keep the grudge. But the moment you see that these things are impermanent, subject to change and disappear, and then you let go of the grudges. As the Buddha says, Parechana vijananti maya metta yamamase yecha tatta vijananti tato sammanti medaga. Some people do not know, sooner or later they will come to the death. They will come to the end of their lives. But those human beings who are aware about it, who are mindful on their own death, then they will let go their anger and grudge. Their quarrels come to an end. So those human beings who practice mindfulness on death will let go the grudges very easily. They will not keep these grudges because they know at the moment of the death, if they were to remember them, then they will have an unpleasant death. The fifth blessing you will treasure your relationship. You will treasure your wife. You will treasure your husband, your mother, father, siblings, friends, and you will treasure them because our life is short. Time is short. We do not know when, where, how it will happen. So we started to treasure each other. As the Buddha encouraged us to reflect, sabbe himi piyehi mana pehi nana bhavo vina bhavoti abinhang pachavekitabbang. Sooner or later, I had to be parted and separated from everyone that I love. Dear and near ones are to be left behind. When the death happens, we need to be separated. No one can stop it. When you reflect on this, you tend to treasure your relationships. You will not take your wife or husband for granted. You will not take your friends for granted. You will treasure them and you will treat them with kindness, compassion. You will let go your anger towards them. You will forgive them and you will treat them well. So this is the fifth blessing. And the sixth point here, one day when you face the death, you will face it with confidence. Now, many people who forget about the death, when they are reaching the end of their life, they can be very stressed up, tense up, and they can experience a lot of miseries at that moment. But if you were to practice mindfulness on death, as Buddha pointed out, and evaluate your spiritual progress and take necessary actions at appropriate time, then when the death comes to you, you will face it with confidence. Now, at the moment of the death, you will not have much attachment. Many people, when they are about to die, they might have a lot of attachment. Ayo, my wealth, my car, my house. You will not have such thoughts because while you were living, you use your wealth, glory, name, and fame. So you do not have any attachment here and thinking that who is going to take my wealth after I'm dead and gone. Because you have used them. Whatever left, and that is for the rest of the people, you will not have attachment because you have enjoyed wealth. At the moment of the death, you will not have any regrets. The reason is, while you are living, you treated your wife and husband well. You took care of your relatives, friends well. You treated them well, and you do not have any regrets in that particular case. You also do not have any grudges because you have let go all these grudges. So at the moment of the death, you will have peace, not anger. You will have loving kindness instead of that. You will not have fear because you have refrained from evil. Those people who do evil actions, at the moment of the death, they can be terrified, have so much fear because they know that they are going to be born in lower realm. So you will not have that fear since you refrain from evil. Furthermore, since you have done good and produced merits, at the moment of the death, you have confidence. You are looking forward to your next life. Because you are sure that you are going to be born in a pleasurable, favorable realm. This is a great blessing. So as a result, after the death, the seventh blessing is you are going to be born in a higher realm, in a divine world, or if it is in human plane of existence, in a better place, in a fortunate situation. As the Buddha says, Tato nang sukhamanveti chayava anapayini. The merits that you have acquired throughout your life will follow you like your own shadow and will give you a favorable rebirth. So friends, if you were to cultivate mindfulness on death, you will enjoy these 7 benefits. Of course, there might be more benefits, but I believe that 7s are enough for you to practice this meditation. Okay, this is enough as a talk. We can open this for Q&A.